Real business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward. Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast. This is episode 97 with myself, Trevor Cowley. As always, Kel Goodman.
What's up, everybody?
Guys, today we have a guest for you. And the guest that we have for today is an individual that's been with us for 3 years almost?
Not quite.
Not quite 3 years?
Yeah, we're like 2 years and 8-9 months.
Something like that. Yeah.
So he hasn't missed an episode. That's for sure.
I'm your biggest fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about that.
You've seen all of our shit.
Multiple times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, in some cases, some clips 10, 20, 30 times potentially, right? Guys, we have Austin Snyder on today's podcast. Austin is our videographer, has been our videographer for the last several years. We have multiple videographers now on staff, but Austin was the go-to OG videographer that kind of helped us build, you know, this Real Business Owners brand. And we thought it would be a good idea to bring Austin on the show, you know, to talk about videographers and maybe what to look for in a videographer if you're wanting to take that next step in business. Full transparency, Austin's not going to be with us for that much longer, just a few more months left. When Austin was working for us early on, he was doing such an amazing job with the content. We wanted to lock him in for a few years as we were building Real Business Owners so that we could create consistency with the content, right? It would suck to have somebody for 6 months and have a certain look, feel, and vibe to a page, and then all of a sudden that individual's gone.
Yeah.
So, you know, we came to an agreement where he signed a 2-year agreement with a bonus and all this cool stuff to incentivize him to stay with us for a few years.
I remember
growing this account so that there was consistency there.
I remember some of those negotiations, man, like sitting in the airport and
Austin's
like,
a tough negotiator.
I'm watching the Austin. He's like, his whole face, face never lies.
He's got he speaks
like you throw an offer at him, he's like, you instantly know he did not like that offer.
Yeah, yeah. He's like,
all right, let's talk. And I knew my value, I think.
Yeah. Austin knows he's good.
Yeah.
And
Which is great. And I think that that's a great lesson right off the bat, is a lot of people don't understand their value.
Yeah.
Right? In terms of what they're capable of, right? What they bring to the table. We knew Austin brought a lot to the table, and that's why we wanted to have him, you know, with us for a few years at least, right?
Before you even went to school to do the videographer courses and get the education, like, you were already geeking out on like building your own YouTube videos and editing them. And like, you had even maybe done some stuff that went pretty much viral, right?
You had some video I think you showed me one time that did okay or whatever on YouTube or something somewhere, I thought, but
right. I knew I wanted to do video. Like, I knew what I wanted to do for my career.
When
I was I started doing it when I was 11, and I
just goofing
was pretty
off at
sure
that
I this is what I wanted to do basically with my life.
Yeah.
By the time I was like 15.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Which
so
is great.
It was just goofing off a little bit at first, but you kind of fell in love with the whole process of editing, or, you know, how did you first learn? Was it YouTube University that you would learn how to edit and then kind of try to take that information and apply it and then screw up and make adjustments and just get better and better over the years?
The process originally was always we just have an idea and then you try and figure out how to make that happen.
Yeah.
So
then you would search for the content that you needed to bring this concept into reality.
Yeah, and of course I'm watching all these action movies and like Pirates of the Caribbean, Star Wars, and I'm like, okay, how can I make this happen in my living room? Of course, we never actually got there. But, you know, I could go online and I could figure out how to do this effect that made
like
me feel
blow
a little
some
better
shit
about
up
it.
Or whatever. Like, how do I get the blow up effects or whatever? And you just started trying to make the coolest videos that you could as a kid.
Yeah. And I got my start. I was doing, like, maybe you've seen them. They're a little more, like, in the public, public awareness.
Yeah.
I would make these little stop motion videos.
Okay.
you take a Lego minifigure and then you move it like a millimeter and you take a picture and you move it another millimeter. And
like almost how they make cartoons, like drawing frame by frame by frame. Like and then you're books, putting,
yeah, kind of flip book. Yeah, okay. I remember. Yeah. I made some of those, dude.
Oh, me too.
Oh, so
stick
much
figures. Whole post-it notes gone, you know, just with one flip book.
Those were fun though.
Yeah.
But I'd get I got started with that, which was really nice because it gave me a little more scale than I would have had, again, just doing things in my living room. Mm. Because, okay, I'd go into a video, I have $20 to make this video, you know, I'm a 13-year-old kid, and no way could I rent an actual bus and crash it into a brick wall somewhere, but I could make it out of Legos, and then, again, millimeter at a time, take a picture, and
the bus
it all
is
together.
Slowly going. It's like a 2-hour crash, you know, on Austin's end, but he speeds it up to where it's like 2 seconds on the video.
I think the benefit there is with a stop motion video, as opposed to live action, that necessitated a more intensive post-production process.
Gotcha.
So early on, I got more clued into how that worked, and that's what I've gravitated toward. Mm. Later on, I enjoy the post-production process, color, cutting it together.
Yeah.
Kind of give me a leg up there.
Gotcha.
How lucky were we, right? Like we got a guy.
Yeah.
We found a guy. We found each other. However it happened, I remember how it happened. We got a referral from Ethan because he helped
to
eHarmony.
Yeah. Ethan Holmes.
Ethan Holmes. eHarmony.
The OG videographer.
Yeah. He needs to be on eHarmony, dude. He needs to get locked up with a lady, dude.
Yeah. He's doing all right.
He's doing all right in the lady department.
I'm sure.
I'm sure he is.
I know.
It's cool that we found somebody that was so passionate, right? Like, we didn't know Austin, and we didn't know how to hire a videographer, right? Like we went through Ethan for a little bit. He decided to do something different. Austin had helped him on some projects of ours for a minute. We were lucky enough to get Austin, someone who's been passionate about it since he's 11 years old, you know, and we didn't even know what questions to ask hiring a videographer at the time. I think going back or as we hire guys in the future, we find out how passionate they are about
it.
Know? I think that's one of the things. Yeah,
maybe we should talk about that.
Well, we let's jump into that. But this shows you when you have passion for what you do, the end product itself is much better.
Absolutely.
Right. And so that's kind of what I'm, you know, correlating the two with is this is something that he was doing for fun by himself as a young kid. And it's just, it's a bonus to be able to grow up and still do some of those same things that he enjoyed doing and be able to make money at it. Mm-hmm. And the end product shows you that he has passion for what he's doing because he takes what he does very seriously. And it's almost, to me, it's almost like an artist, right? Like signing off on a painting, right? Like they don't want to sign off on something that's half-assed. They don't want their name on something that's half-assed. And Austin's done an incredible job of, you know, really just taking pride in his content, right? That he's creating. Yes, it is us in front of the camera, but he's the creator of the content itself, right? That ultimately gets posted for you guys to, you know,
consume
and for your video pleasure.
Yeah, I've understood from the beginning, even where, and it's already out in the open that I'm not going to be with you guys for that much longer.
Yeah.
But I've understood from the beginning that the Real Business Owners Instagram and all the content that I create here, my name is also attached to that.
Correct.
And as I move forward, that's going to be a huge portfolio piece.
It's a resume.
Yeah.
It's a huge visual resume, which, you know, I mean, what did we do when we interviewed the last few videographers, right? What did we want? We wanted
check their portfolio.
We wanted first them, thing. Exactly. Send us some stuff that you've done so that we could see how good you are, right? And so that we can kind of say, here's our style, here's their style. That's not going to match. That's not going to work. Oh, this one, they hit it out of the park. Let's call this person back and let's offer them the job, right?
Right.
And so that's what we've done as of recent. With some of the new hires in terms of videographer type work, what we did is we took some old podcasts or some old footage, some old B-roll, and we dumped it to a few different people. And we said, make some clips with this. And we didn't give them any guidance besides the fact that we said, here's our Instagram account. Check out the feel, the vibe, and create something that you feel like would have the same type of synergy, right? And then they would take that information or take those videos and they created videos for us. And then that would let us know if they're kind of on the right track, right? And I would suggest anybody that's looking for a videographer to do something similar, right? Maybe they don't have content, though.
Yeah, that's the thing only that's complicated issue. Where you've had me producing content for you for so long. So we could give them things that were reasonably well shot, something that could be turned into a good video.
Or they could just turn the camera on themselves and record a message for 5 minutes or 3 minutes or something like that, and then dump it to somebody and say, hey, make this into a clip or whatever.
Maybe for people just looking to get started with hiring a full-time videographer, it'd be better to take the approach like what Jason Workman has been doing, where you bring somebody in for a day
and have them shoot some kind of content.
Yeah.
So you basically schedule a day where they're going to come in and film and do some different stuff for you. They go home and do the edits and then send the edits back to you. And that's kind of what he did with a handful of videographers.
Shout out to Jay, by the way. We haven't mentioned yet. He's running the show today.
Yeah.
He's doing a great job. He's been with us for about 5 months.
Yeah.
And it's like Indiana Jones rolling the bag of sand for the idol. Mm-hmm. That's the transition we're going for here. You guys probably didn't even notice.
Yeah.
And I guess if this podcast sounds like ass, it's not my fault.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's 90, episode 97 is different, you know why. It's
Which
Jay's
it won't
fault.
Be.
You
no,
know?
No, it won't but just no.
Jay does a good job as well.
At Jason Workman's office. He's filming this tattoo. And
oh, yeah. That was the point. Didn't you do that?
He did good work.
Okay, yeah.
So what Jason did, Jason's been on our podcast. He's on one of our episodes. I don't remember which one. But he brought in 12 videographers and they each came in for a day and then they recorded content and they all got them content back. And then from there, he was able to choose who he felt like was maybe a best fit for what he was trying to accomplish with his tattoo shop.
For future projects.
That would be a good idea if you don't have content to give them to edit to see what they have the ability to do. Have them come in and record just as what Austin said. Have them make some videos. See if you like the vibe or the feel. And then from there, you know, even if it's not 100%, if it's headed in the right direction, then you might have somebody there that you could work with them. And then kind of explain what your vision is a little bit more. Because on day one, it's going to be hard for them to see the vision. Maybe they need to be in your business and in the ecosystem to feel it and understand it and see that vision. And then over a period of time, they can kind of adopt that and, you know, make the necessary changes in order to create the content that matches what you're trying to accomplish, right?
Yeah. And I want to talk about how to communicate that. But first, I just want to clear out all the things that I feel like you should look for
in a videographer.
Yeah, if you're looking to hire a videographer. Yeah. So first things first, you want to see their portfolio.
Okay.
And hopefully they have content that is similar to the kind of thing that you want them to produce for you.
Yeah.
Just as close as possible. They might be producing these really cool snowboarding videos, but if you're trying to make podcast content,
it could be completely different. Yeah,
like a good videographer is going to be able to make it work with anything, but ideally they would have something close to the end product you're looking
for. Gotcha.
And then, of course, you like with any new hire, you want somebody that presents well, that's going to fit with your culture.
Of course.
All of that's obvious.
Yeah.
But in particular, I think you want to look for somebody that you can tell is really organized.
Mm.
That's going to be able to take the chaos of whatever you film and actually condense it, distill it down into something presentable and something that's going to convert and have the desired effect of the content you're trying to produce.
And it also makes it easier if that individual in a year or two is no longer there. If they're organized, it's going to be more of a seamless transition to somebody new.
Because
it is organized. You know, if you don't have it organized and somebody new comes in and there's just random content downloaded on a computer, then it's just like a some sort of freaking witch hunt to find this clip that goes with it, you know, and we've dealt with that a little bit when you first kind of came on, is that it was just kind of scattered a little bit and you've came on and organized a lot of the content and labeled it so that you understand and you have the ability to go back to specific clips because of how organized it is, right?
Yeah, I'm a perfectionist.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
We can co-sign on that.
And, like, I don't even say that necessarily is a great thing. That causes all kinds of problems in other parts of my life. But yeah. I have taken to leveraging that, you know, to a degree that's actually going
to
work for
You're
me.
You're trying to leverage it where it's positive and trying to get rid of it where it doesn't serve you, which is a
process. I've used what could be seen as a negative characteristic. I leverage that in my career, and it really benefits me that I have all of the footage we've ever recorded.
Your OCD serves you here, but maybe
organized
not
by date. And then
what is that?
Organized.
What is that saying? Perfection is the death of good, right? Like, or something like that. Right. And so people sometimes are like, oh, it's gotta be perfect. And they never end up putting it out. So they get no result from it. Right. Yeah. But it's kind of been a benefit to have someone that is a perfectionist. However, he finds a way to get it done and get it out. Mm-hmm. It's probably still never perfect in your mind, but it's like, you care so much. But we got a deadline, so you're like, oh, I got to get it to where it's as great
quote.
As it can.
I don't know who to attribute it to, but a famous director once said that films are never completed. They just escape. It's the same thing with all video content, even stuff down to our scale.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's funny. So in terms of other questions that they should ask, what are some of the deeper questions where they can really know if that individual understands how to edit or understands, you know, video production really as a whole?
So that can be a little complicated if you yourself don't understand a lot about videography. But
well, that's why it's been a help to have you as we've been hiring two other people, because I have Austin come in on the interview process and he understands some of the questions to ask.
Has anyone built like a Tinder for videographers yet, like, and business owners?
that'd be a good idea.
Like, build a really cool platform.
Yeah.
But it's not only specific.
That wouldn't be a bad idea to just
Partners, dude.
You know, have an app that says, "Hey, looking for videographers, come to this app, right? And check out maybe their portfolio.
I don't know,
you know, or whatever." That would be probably a good idea.
I guess like Vimeo. That's like a video sharing platform, but there's a lot of videographers that have their portfolio
right on
there.
So do you think that would be a good place to look if people are trying to outsource versus have somebody in-house?
Not necessarily. That's the same as saying, like, look for your videographer on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's a little broad.
Yeah. It's too broad to really.
Yeah. I mean, if you find somebody cool, reach out. Yeah. If you want to work with them.
Yeah.
But it's not specifically designed for that.
Yeah.
But anyway. So again, it's a little difficult if you don't know what the answers are supposed
to
be.
Yeah.
But I would definitely ask them what camera and gear
that they currently
they prefer and what they're familiar with. And then hopefully they have an answer. I mean, that's the first hurdle.
iPhone 12.
Yeah.
That's my best.
Well, don't hate on the iPhone. That's another point.
Yeah.
You can actually accomplish a whole lot with your phone these days, guys. But
can Samsungs and all the other ones? Droid?
Sure.
Androids?
Sure.
Not as good.
Apple's just easy.
Yeah,
especially for consumers, people that aren't looking to make videography.
Is their camera quality better?
Whose?
Apple's over Android's?
It's about as good as you're going to get.
Yeah.
And it's always changing.
So if they come in and they have you see a cell phone and it's an Android, then you just don't hire them? You're like, hey, I see.
Well, maybe that could lead to the other, because Android offers more customization. So maybe that's a good sign that they're
good on the back end.
They're kind of techie.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
But I would ask them what gear they prefer and then ask them why. Mm. And as they explain, I feel like you'll get a good sense of if they actually know what they're talking about. Like, ask them why they prefer that
over
other options.
Yeah.
Also do the exact same thing with their software proficiencies. So it doesn't really matter what video editing software they're using, whether it's like Media Composer, Premiere, DaVinci, Final Cut. You can accomplish basically all the same stuff in all of those programs.
Yeah.
I'm a Premiere guy, and I don't really understand why somebody would choose to use one of those others, especially if they're making micro content. But you can do it.
Mm.
And I guess there are arguments either way. So I'd ask them the same question. What software are you
most proficient in
and why do you choose that over other options?
Yeah.
And hopefully they should have three or four arguments why they think that that's the one to go with.
But if they say Premiere, then that's just a good. You're just like, okay, cool.
Tone it down for us entrepreneurs.
Yeah,
man.
If you say Premiere, you're just like, okay, cool. That was the answer I was looking for.
iMovie, that's a bit of a red flag.
Okay.
Gotcha.
That's where I would edit.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, that's a guy like me. I'd be coming off the streets, right?
Hey, I'm a good learner. I'm good with my iPhone. I can edit iMovies.
Yeah.
You know.
I couldn't even figure out iMovie. I actually tried one.
I know how
it's been a long time.
I know though. How to cut a clip and shorten it. I don't know how to do it.
I did that wrong the other day.
Yeah. On the Photos app.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all I can do. Yeah. So that's my editing experience. Right. So we've got questions for, you know, the type of gear that they prefer to shoot in, and then the gear that they, or the software that they use for editing at this point, right?
Yeah. And as soon as they start talking about, okay, I prefer this because the workflow is better and your display options are this and you can generate proxy, like as soon as they start throwing out these techie terms.
So if they
confuse
you.
That's a good sign.
Yeah. If they confuse the hell out of you. Yeah. Hire that
person. You're on
person.
The right track.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you understand everything that they're saying, they're pretty close to your level, right? So you don't Fair. Want that yeah. one, right? So Austin can talk right over me in terms of software, editing gear, yeah. you know, all this stuff. And, you know, they'll come and say, hey, we need this new camera that's $4,000. I was like, okay, yeah. cool.
Do like, it. I'm sure Here's when we've talked card, to Austin you know? Many times about this, he's like, you guys are idiots. And that's yeah. what we want.
Yeah, that's
what we want. That's what we want. We want
we're
some
supposed
smarter
to be idiots
than
in this area. Because if we were geniuses in this area, we wouldn't need anybody. Yeah. You know? So,
good way to look at it.
Yeah. So if they talk over you, hire whoever it is for whatever position. You know?
For the record, I am continually impressed by how willing you guys are to trust me with yeah. any time I come with something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, hey, we need this new podcast recording board. And I have this whole pitch ready to go every time. And then you guys are just like, okay, let's buy it.
Is it the best? Like, okay, awesome.
That's what
it's $1,000, man. And it's like, get it. Yeah. We trust you.
It's yeah.
We do trust you.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's a big burden off my shoulders.
Well, at the end of the day, our job as an entrepreneur and your guys' job as entrepreneurs that are listening to this is about making other people's lives easier, mm-hmm. right? Like, give the support to your team that they need in order to accomplish the goal that you have them set out to accomplish.
Dude, it really goes right? both ways. Like,
yeah.
it's awesome that you're like, dude, it's really cool that you guys are willing to do that. But it's really cool to us that you're willing to want to go the extra mile and get the best equipment so that we put out the best right. product. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, it's got to be a good two-way street like that. You know, it's just, you know, in a marriage, it's kind of nice to have people care on both ends, yeah. right?
Well, it wasn't so, more than like a month ago. It's like, oh, we got to spend $5,000 or $6,000 on all this different stuff. And I'm like, I just threw him the debit card. And he's like, I said,
one day you're going to tell me no.
And I said, what did I say to that? I said, I don't think so. Yeah. You're like, in that case, I'll go buy a house.
Right? Yeah, I'm like, we need red cameras, cinema cameras all of a sudden.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have the things in the NFL with the string with the camera that goes back and forth in the podcast room and all this stuff.
That'd be dope.
And it's like a kid in a candy store with unlimited money just to go spend on cool equipment. But we want to make sure that we're supporting our team so that we can expect what we want to expect, right? Like if you're giving somebody half the tools for something and expect a specific result, that just doesn't make sense.
Right.
Give them all the tools that they need to perform at a high level so that ultimately it does serve the business and serve you as the entrepreneur. We're serving them to make sure that they have what they need and then they do the same thing back. And it's just kind of a two-way street, just as Kel said. So,
I love that.
Yeah, I know you do. You love spending other people, OPM, other people's money. Austin's good at it. He spent a lot of our money.
I guess I'm in a unique position to just confirm that like working for these guys is actually pretty great.
Yeah.
You know, we come on here and you guys are all rah-rah and you're talking business.
Yeah.
Like, I just want the audience to know you're not putting it on. Like, this is your authentic selves.
Yeah.
For better or worse, this is how you guys are.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not perfect, you know, and we may not agree on everything, but at the end of the day, we always fall on the same page and we can agree to disagree in some area. It doesn't matter because nobody's going to think the exact same way that you think or that I think or that Kel thinks, right? And it's just about really it's about taking care of people and making sure that they have a place that they enjoy working. And I think that we create a halfway decent environment for that. Of course, there's good days, there's bad days. That's just life in general. You'll experience that no matter the culture or the company that you work for.
Yeah, it's important to embrace differences. And like, honestly, you should want that, right?
Yeah,
in fact, I've been reading that in a book right now. It's like, you should want to have diverse conversations, and that's how you can figure out new directions and problem solve and come to conclusions.
And evolve as an individual.
A little bit of like
somebody challenging your points of views and things like that, right? Mm-hmm. To maybe turn inward and ask yourself some of the questions. Why do you have the beliefs that you have or whatever it is, right?
Living in your bubble is super dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. Just being completely closed off to any other information besides what you currently have. And that's not a positive thing, but... No, we've loved having Austin the entire time. I mean, anytime his name gets brought up in anything, it's always positive in terms of, you know, who he is as an individual, his character, his work ethic, and what he's able to produce
in
quality, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's a good quality to have as an individual, and it could take you very, very far. And just so that you guys understand, like, we got a little bit of hate on the whole resume video. I don't know if you guys have read some of those comments.
Yeah.
Oh, you judging people, And I'm like, you need to understand, I said it initially.
Judging people? Well, we all do it. We're all creatures of judgment.
I have to kind of judge people based upon whether or not they would be a good fit for what we're trying to accomplish.
Right.
That's kind of what we have to do to a certain extent.
There's a difference between judgment and prejudgment. Right?
Yeah. Like, and so, you know, the thing with that is it's just like Austin does an incredible job. He's amazing at what he does, but he's consistent.
Yeah.
He's consistent. And when we look for resumes, that's all I was trying to say is I'm looking for consistency, right? Not somebody that just wants to hop around all the time. Because when you make a mark in a company, that's a good thing because you can grow and scale into that business and become more and more valuable. Now, yes, you may be able to go do something else and make a little bit more money now, but what about long term?
Right.
And just so that you guys understand, they're like, well, yeah, you just want slaves to work for you forever. No, we don't. No, that's not the case.
Clearly.
You know, we have Austin on here and we're highlighting all the stuff that he's done that's been huge for us as a company and as the Real Business Owners brand. And we're 100% supportive of his choice to leave.
And we're going to always promote him.
And that's because what we're doing right now. Like, mm-hmm. we could easily feel like, you know, oh, well, screw him. He's leaving, you know, and feel like, it's a breakup and we're exes and we hate each other, right? And that's never going to be the case. And somebody said, you just want somebody to work for you forever. And I even commented and I said, that's not true. We have somebody that's worked for us for about 3 years and he's going to leave and go do his own thing. And we're 100% supportive of that. And if he ever does need help or want to shoot us a text or a phone call, you know, 2 or 3 months down the road or 6 months down the road and has a question or anything in regards to business. Hell, we even set up the entity for him that he's going to use for his business that he's going to pursue. And that's him leaving
us. I can think of.
And we're trying to be supportive as possible in terms of, like, we never want to hold anybody back. If somebody's being held back, like, we want to support that individual and see them spread their wings and have new experiences. Of course, we would love to keep him forever. Of course we would. I'll tell you that right now. No question. But at the end of the day, that's just not how it works out. And there's been people that's left and gone and started their own businesses. And they come back and they ask for advice. And we'll sit down and we'll talk with them. And we'll try to help any way that we possibly can. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it's all about is, one, supporting the people that you currently have in terms of your current organization. And even supporting them when they decide to go do something different.
Yeah.
The only thing that I don't like is if somebody comes in and it's 3 months or 6 months. And then it's like, all right, see you later. Right? Austin has given us a few years of his life. And I did tell you that originally. I'm like, look, dude, this is going to be a great resume for you to say, hey, I helped create this account with now 95,000 followers on it. And that's going to look good on your part. And that's probably going to help you charge a premium price because you can show your premium.
I'm really hoping we cross that 100K before I leave.
Yeah.
Just for that nice rounded figure. But it'll be what it is. We're doing our best.
Yeah, the six-figure man is what we'll call you. Help us get to six figures and
zero to 100K.
Yeah, exactly. So we should have that by in the next like 4 to 6 weeks, something like that. So you'll see it fingers before crossed. Your departure.
So. Well, I will say though, I mean, we've had several conversations with people that have left and we're like, dude, we want you to go succeed. That actually is a good reflection on us too, right? Exactly. Like, but also the biggest companies in the world do it too. One of my first jobs was working at the Walmart distribution center. Yeah. And the reason they hired me is because I put on my resume that I'd worked for I didn't tell them it was my dad, but I told them I'd had a job since I was 16 for Southern Utah Aluminum, which was a siding company, my dad. And I was like from 16 to 19, you know.
It shows consistency for a youngster,
And they told me that, like, we don't hire people unless we can see that they have stuck it out at jobs for a period of time.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
And a job might not be for everybody.
Right.
But at the end of the day, at least give it an honest effort. You know what I mean? Give it 100% to see where it has the ability to take you and give it a year or two. And then still in a year or two, if you're not seeing that, then make an adjustment. But give it an honest effort and give it 100%. And that's exactly what Austin does everything that he's done for us. He's given it 100%. He's given it an honest effort. He communicates well with us. Hey, I can't be here. Cool. You know, we're very flexible based upon our trust in him, right? Like, we don't have to manage, so to speak, Austin, because Austin's his own man and he has his own structure. And he always produces what we need him to produce. Whether he was in the office for 3 days that week or 5 days, that it doesn't matter. We still get what we need out of him. And so we give him that trust. He's grandfathered into, that's fine if you need to take a couple days off or go, you know, you're busy or whatever it is. Cool. Go do whatever you got to do as long as we've got the content that we need for the page, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty cool relationship.
Yeah.
But I just want to clarify that it is really important that you have some expectations set. If I'm in and out,
well, it's not like it was like that in the beginning.
A certain standard weekly.
Like, you know the deadlines. Yeah. Like, this content goes out this day and that day, and podcast launches this day.
And as I've worked with you guys longer and longer, that expectation has become more clear.
Yes.
I'm going to produce this much content. And the podcast helps a lot with that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's a structured thing. Then we produce certain pieces of content for it.
I would tell anybody that if you are looking to start creating content for your business or personal brand or whatever it is, one of the best ways to go about doing it and one of the best ways to also serve your team, your videographer team, is to probably create a podcast. Even if the podcast gets zero listens, you're still creating content for your team that they can go back and edit. That's a little bit more authentic and genuine because you're having a conversation with somebody rather than you just staring at a camera and just, I know what I'm doing. I'm on a pedestal. You piece of crap. You need to do this, this, and this. This is why your life sucks or whatever, right? Sometimes when you talk directly at the camera just by yourself, like, it feels like that individual's putting themselves higher than you. But with a podcast, it's just a little bit more authentic, a little bit more genuine because it's real conversations that are happening. And you can invite guests on in your industry or guests that you maybe want to do business with that's somewhat tied to your industry. But at the end of the day, that is a great way to produce content just in general so that you're not having to like sit back and be like, hey, what content should I generate? You shouldn't have to worry about that as much because you just have a guest coming in. And if it's a 45-minute podcast, you can probably get two or three clips out of it. And then you get a couple quotes or whatever. You guys can see our page and how we do it. We post, you know, whatever, three videos a week and maybe four stills with a quote on it, right? And so I would say if you're looking to create content, I would also be looking into starting a podcast to help the videographer team have content that they can edit.
Well, that's an important thing to clarify straight away is if you're trying to build a social media following, it's super important to stay consistent.
That's true. Something like a podcast
or like just a reoccurring video show, like you could do weekly Q&As, something like that is huge in keeping yourself accountable and actually building something, adding some structure to assure that you're going to have new content every week. You need to build some kind of engine.
Yes, I like that.
To make that happen.
Because on someone that's starting and they don't have the ability yet to bring a team in-house. Mm. They want to hire an outsourced agent. Mm. Like, you're going to be doing that, right? Some outsourced stuff?
A little bit.
So, like, how can they get consistency with an outsourced person until they can have an in-house team? Like, you know what I mean? I guess it's probably important to find someone outsourced.
There's a difference between the consistency of, like, the content style and the consistency of actually just producing content. Yeah. So even if you are hiring, like, out of house, it's on you to be like, okay, we're going to do this every week.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's two sides to it.
I'm sure you can find outsourced people that could do that too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to do this every week, so I'm going to give you this every week.
Yeah, and you're just my guy. After I record my podcast, I send it off to you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you could, if you don't have somebody in-house, you can probably just get your own camera or two cameras or whatever it is, maybe some used ones, and just set it up and hit record and then just do your podcast.
Do it on your phone.
Or do it on your phone, right? You know, there's some of the clips that you guys have seen, there's literally an iPhone on a stand right now, as well as three other cameras.
Yeah. But so, Jay, if you remember, cut to the wide right now. In the a shout out to the YouTube, real fans, people watching on YouTube.
What's up?
But Jay will just cut to the wide. That's an iPhone. Our wide angle for this whole podcast is has always been on an iPhone.
Yeah.
And that's not our key camera, but you can get great quality out of that.
So,
and most of you already have one.
Yeah, exactly. So if you set up an iPhone, hit record, you do your podcast, then you can maybe find that individual to outsource the editing to create the clips that you need for the show. That's kind of a bootstrap way to do it.
I think it's,
but it's a way to do it.
I think it's just a good thing to do though. Like, make sure you're conscious of who you're finding, whether they are outsourced in-house. Like, dude, we need consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Someone hires Austin, he's going to realize that, like, how important consistency is. So I would probably put a lot of focus on that and who I'm hiring.
And create that expectation, like he said, like, hey, I need 7 pieces of content. I want to at least post once a day. I'm going to do some stills or some motivational quotes, and then I'm going to send you a podcast, and I need 3 clips from that podcast, anywhere from 1 minute to 3 minutes long or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And creating that expectation so that they can then go in and do it. Now, if there's certain moments in the podcast that you already know that you want clips, that's going to make their life a lot easier too. And you can say, hey, check out the spot between 2 to 5 minutes into the podcast. I want that clip to be used on a promotional thing on Instagram or Facebook or wherever you're posting your content, right? There's a way to bootstrap it to where you don't have to do what we did and go all in, like right from the jump. Obviously, we had built our businesses and had, you know, good income coming in prior to committing to the, you know, Instagram and building a brand and, you know, shooting videos and all that. So we were able to jump in pretty heavy fast. Right. Purchasing. I think we spent $7,000 or $8,000 or something on equipment between computers and, you know, camera equipment, you know, a whole bunch of stuff, plus the cost of an individual that's now a full time employee. So we had the ability to do that. If you have the ability to do it, great. Jump in and do it and give it an honest effort, though. Now, what I mean by that is when we started the show or the podcast or the Instagram account, all of it. You know, we said, we're not going to judge its performance in the first 6 months. We're not going to judge its performance in the first 12 months. It's a long-term play. So just like you wouldn't judge your business in the first 6 months as a startup, it's probably not going to make a whole lot of money, right? It's just something new that you're doing, and it's going to take time to get momentum, right? And then once you have momentum, then you can start kind of seeing where you're at and looking at the data to see how it's benefiting you and your business. But we committed saying, hey, let's give this thing at least 3 years to see what it really has the ability to do. And we're coming upon like year 2 right now. And obviously it's apparent that it does benefit our businesses and it does help us and it helps other people.
Right.
So it's a win-win situation for everybody that's involved. But go into it with that mindset. Don't go into it like, hey, I'm going to kind of test it or mess around with it. Go into it being committed for a minimum of at least 12 months of being consistent, like Austin said, creating content daily or having that weekly episode every single week that drops at the same time. So that you're creating an expectation for the audience as well of what they should expect out of your page or your Facebook or whatever it is, wherever you're posting, but also you're creating expectations for the videographer. And so everybody's in alignment at that point.
Right. It's a good idea to always judge what you're doing on social media through that macro lens.
Yeah.
You shouldn't judge the performance of one individual post or video.
That's a great point.
Like, you shouldn't take that to heart about, oh, okay, this is how social media is going to be.
Yeah, no, it's not. You can't do that. You know, maybe you posted at the wrong time. Because I've sometimes missed a post and then I post like an hour later than normal and that post just doesn't get as much love, right? So maybe when you're first doing content, there's analytics, you know, if you have a business page and you could see when the most viewers or of your followers are on the app, on Instagram, so that you can determine when to post. Ours says at 9 o'clock, it greatly increases. So that means everybody gets to work and isn't working. You know, so they're like, sweet, I'm at work, I'm clocked in.
Yeah. Time while their Instagram. Computer's booting up, they're looking at real business owners.
Kel's giving you a little too much credit. We see you guys. See you slacking in the job. But so what I try to do is I try to post at like 8:30 our time, Mountain Standard Time, every day, because it says at 9 o'clock, that's when there's a big influx of individuals that are logging on, that are our followers onto Instagram. And so I try to catch that wave. Right. So post, and as it slowly trickles and gets closer to that 9 o'clock, and then it starts kind of taking off a little bit. So to Austin's point, like not judging one piece of content, maybe you did post it at the wrong time. You know, maybe you need to try a 9 o'clock post. Maybe you need to try a 12 o'clock post. And then an evening post, like at 5 o'clock or something like that.
Or maybe you just suck.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. Or maybe it's just bad.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
And that's okay.
Social media is a discipline. And the more that you do it.
Yes.
The better you're going to get.
Well, if you look at any of our initial pieces of content, it wasn't, you know, the best in the whole world.
They're definitely not up to the standard we're at now.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But it was a start. Mm-hmm. It was something. We were moving in a direction that we wanted to move in. And again, not having an expectation that it's just going to blow up overnight. You know, people want to go viral or this, that, the other. It's like, get all that stuff out of your head. Like, you're doing it for the wrong reasons if you're just trying to go viral. Just create good content that you think will connect with people, and then let it connect with people. Sometimes you'll hit and sometimes you'll miss. There's times that we miss. You know, we're not going to hit a home run every single time. And you'll be surprised. Like, you might like a piece of content and post it and it really speaks to you. And then that one doesn't get as much love.
Well, from my end, I'll be like, okay, this is this video. This one's going to hit. Yeah. I spent all this time on it, getting my edits just right. I got some sweet B-roll in there.
Falls flat. And it's like
5,000 views.
Yeah.
And then this other that I just threw together one day,
like,
just to get something
views
turned in, it hits.
Yeah.
And I'm like, jeez, all right, guys.
Yeah. You're like, I don't know what the fuck. I'm just going
to. But you got to do a lot of it to get that data of like, okay, like what does, you know, get the most attention.
There's literally been stuff that you've dropped me that I've had for like 4 or 5 weeks because I was just like, I don't. It's good, but I don't like the message as much as maybe these ones. So I hurry and post those ones that vibe with me first, and then I've got this one kind of still, you know, in my back pocket. And then when we're running low on content, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna post it. And then that one, that's the hitter.
It's the one.
Right. Because what speaks to me might not speak to the audience, right? Like, maybe we're at a different level. And to us, maybe that's more generic information, right? Where we're like, everybody kind of knows that, you know? But everybody's playing at a different level. So you need to understand you can't have bias towards your own content. You have to post it. Let the people determine whether that content is good and whether it speaks to them. Right.
And that's one of the secret benefits to having a videographer or somebody that's curating your content.
Mm.
Because anytime that a piece of content, obviously it makes it through you, you guys, because you're the ones who said it.
Yeah.
But then it also makes it through me, the curator.
Yeah.
So we have two people, bare minimum, saying, okay, this is a good piece of content.
Yeah. Like, so there's multiple layers of a filter.
Well, right? You know what else I think is a ton of value, and it's been a value for us, because I'm actually a little bit of a perfectionist as well. Like, you know, I'm, on my personal pages, I post stuff all the time. I do stuff all the time and I don't post it because I'm like, that really sucked.
Yeah.
Right. And so with Austin, we do all this. Right. And then I don't get to say whether it's good or not. It just goes, because once Austin's done it and it gets posted, like, I have no say, right? And then I get surprised a lot too, right? And so that's a cool thing too about getting a videographer. You know, hiring someone like Austin is like, once you send them that content and they chop it all up, like, you might even want to get someone to post it for you.
Well, dude, there's been time. You know how
you add that as a service to your service, like, I'll actually go in and post it for you.
I told Jay before we started recording, I'm not going to touch this in post. So, shout out to Stephanie, by the way, our other videographer.
Yeah.
She's going to be doing some of the post-production on this.
We're excited about
really impressed with her so far.
Yeah.
But those two, they're going to handle this whole thing because I don't want to see it.
Because, there's that bias.
I don't want to overthink it.
You don't want to judge it.
Well, there's
it.
The times that we've just done the videos on our phone or whatever, and then we send it to them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do the video, and I'm like, it's whatever. Like, I'll just send it to him. You know, I don't really like it that much. Mm-hmm. I felt like my thoughts weren't gathered. Cause like right when you turn the camera on, your thoughts kind of get scattered a little bit. And the message that you originally wanted to give to people doesn't come out the way that you had it in your head when you hit that record button.
I'm the king of that.
Yeah. And so I'll record something and then be like, it wasn't my favorite. I kind of got the message across that I wanted to. And then I send it over to Austin and then he'll do his thing or whatever. Then when he sends it back and I listen to it, when I'm at a different state of mind, then I'm like, oh, that wasn't so bad. Mm-hmm. You know? So I think initially when we record something, when we're in that moment, we're like, what's the right word for it?
It's self-conscious.
Self-conscious. That's exactly the word I was looking for. We're a little self-conscious in that moment. We don't want to just hit post.
Yeah.
And it's like we watch it like three or four times and like, I don't like this spot. And so you want to try to delete it, then re-record it. And you're overthinking the process. We do it too. Right. We already know that we do it and we know that we're overthinking it. You know, but it's just a matter of doing it and then sending it off and let them do their thing and then get it back to you and post it and just see what happens.
Well, right? I think them paying too, like to get that final product, they're going to be a little more like, I got to post this, I paid for it, right?
Yeah. Especially when I'm running out of content. I'm like, oh, I don't really like that piece as much, but I've got to post it. You know, I need, and then that's the hitter, right? Yeah. And that's the one that ends up getting 25,000 views or whatever it is, right? You just don't know. You know, when it comes to content, it is tough. You're going to want to like look at the content and see if it speaks to you and then judge your content. Just send it. Just
do you guys know who Kenny Beats is?
I don't. He probably knows who we are, though.
No, just kidding. You know who I am.
You know who I am.
He's one of my freaking heroes, especially when it comes to
like, content.
So, no, he's a hip-hop producer. Okay. Primarily, he's a hip-hop producer. He's worked with a lot of really big names.
Bro, did he do the thong song?
I don't think that was him, unfortunately.
That was a good song, though, back in the day. And if you haven't heard it.
No, I have a cool story about it.
I think he's like 27 or 28, but he's worked with like Rico Nasty and Vince Staples and Freddie Gibbs. And
none of those ring a bell.
But good shit.
Yeah. Hey, go check it out.
Kendrick Lamar. He did a song with Kendrick Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
But his whole thing is like his whole brand is dots, like with periods. Don't overthink shit.
Yeah.
Like that's his whole mantra. And I just absolutely love him for that.
Yeah.
That really is the key.
Well, I think that probably connects with you because of who you are and how you overthink things and how you're a perfectionist, right? And so you're like, I know, dude. I'm trying over here, but it kind of connects with you and it's a good reminder to people because everybody needs a reminder sometimes, right? Sometimes we get in our own head and you see something like that and it's like that one piece of content speaks to you. It might not speak to half his other audience, right? But it's definitely speaking to you. And that's why it's important not to have bias in terms of your content because I guarantee we'll post a video that speaks to certain people. The next video might not speak to those same people that the previous one did, but then there's a new person that comments, I needed this today. I felt like that you made that for me. Again, it's going to connect with different people, different content, right? And so that's why it's important not to have bias and just throw it out there and just see what happens.
The last thing, just encouraging, trying to get over that whole self-conscious thing. The last thing that I want to say on this is a lot of people have this weird idea in their head that if they're making a video content, that if it's a bad video that they post, that the people who watch it are just sitting there like roasting it through the entire video, which is totally inaccurate.
Right.
When you see a video that's boring or lame,
you just move on.
You don't watch it.
Yeah.
That's the nature of it.
Yeah.
You just move on with your day and you forget about it 15 seconds later.
Yeah. I promise you, you're not that important where somebody's going to keep you top of mind for the rest of the day.
One of the deepest fears we have, based on,
judgmentals?
You know, well, just based judgment? on the books written by Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich and, you know, the devil one.
Outwitting the devil?
Yeah. Over and over and over again, he talks about the deepest, like some of the strongest fears we have just in humans is fear of criticism, right?
Yeah.
And we have a fear of criticism because we care so much what everybody thinks about us. And like that really is the number one thing that holds us back from putting things out. But the people that have the willingness to just oversee that and put things out, like they're the ones that start getting that attention. But yeah, you just got to be willing to
I would say that that, suck, yeah, right? that holds a lot of people back. Like they don't want to post a piece of content because half of the people that went to high school follow them and they're like, well, what are they gonna think? Are they gonna like who does he think he is posting this? Who's he trying to be, Tony Robbins?
Well, it's good that it's
and you will get some criticism. Understand that that will happen, but probably not to your
most
face.
People admire it because they're not willing to do it because most people have that fear of criticism, right? So that's how you become an authority in your space, is having the willingness to do it anyway.
And people that are normally criticizing it are people that probably want to do exactly what you're doing. They just didn't have the balls to actually do it.
That's why they admire it.
And you did.
Mm-hmm.
What's more, they're probably the people you don't want to be connecting with and doing business with.
Right? Like, why would you want to surround yourself with that type of an individual?
It's not for you, man. When we get haters and stuff, I mean, I comment on that sometimes. Like, cool, man. It's not for you.
Yeah.
But no, that's a great point that Austin makes, man. I mean...
People
don't really care as much as you think they care. That's in your head.
If they have a thought, it's just a thought, and then it disappears just like any other thought, and they move on with their day. So, but you are better off for doing it. You know, they're not better off for maybe having a negative thought, right? That's on them, and it's just projecting how they feel internally, right? So, what you looking at your notepad for, bro?
I have a few things. We've been going a while, and I have a few things I haven't got to.
This is a great 35-minute podcast.
Let's get to them.
So now you know what it's like on the other end of a podcast, because we always tell Austin, hey, we're going to do a quick one. It's going to be like 30 minutes. And then it ends up being
2 hours later.
And he does that. Minutes. He does that look. Mm-hmm,
we'll see. Yeah, sure. 30 minutes, my ass. Okay. But this was supposed to be 35 minutes. And where are we at right now? 50-ish minutes.
Okay.
So we got about 5 minutes.
I do apologize.
Yeah.
No.
We're being so long-winded.
He's taking the blame.
We're doing what we're supposed to do. That's talking to each other. You know, so we're accomplishing.
I wanted to talk about what businesses should be focusing on their social media.
Okay.
Because I don't necessarily think that every business should be directing their focus on promoting a social media page under their business name.
Yeah, I agree.
I do think every business, with very few exceptions, should have a social media accounts for their business set up as it's like proof.
Well, not only that, it's also what's called SEO, right? So if I look up Kell's Plumbing or whatever, and Kell has Kell's Plumbing Facebook page, that can come up high up in the rankings.
Well, it's your portfolio, it's kind of
there's some reasons for it, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that has to be the page that you're trying to grow.
Like if I'm a plastic surgeon or something, and I'm not pulling a lot of my clients off of social media, but I have a bunch of my before and afters, the people are gonna be able to come there and validate my work, right? Yeah.
Because there is still some value in, even if it's the kind of page that no one actually wants to follow, its existence, as long as it's well done and like it looks professional, somebody clicks over there, they look at it, it makes them feel more
comfortable,
secure, they get a good feeling about what you got going on.
Even if it is a plastic surgeon, they're like, oh, what am I going to look like if I do that? Like, they might have before and afters of exactly the procedure that you want. And you're like, oh, it's maybe I won't have the scarring that I thought I would have, you know, or whatever, right? Yeah. So it's like a resume, so to speak, right? In terms of who you're doing business with. But Austin, speaking to the point of, you know, we could have this account called Easier Accounting or Real Business Owners, right?
Yeah.
Following an accounting page doesn't seem sexy, fun, or cool. Mm-hmm. If somebody's like, dude, are you following this accounting page? Your friend's going to be like, what?
It's not to say you can't do it. It's just such an uphill battle.
Yeah, exactly.
Like when we were operating under Easier Accounting for the first few months that I worked for you guys, I was having fun just trying to be creative and coming up with weird content that I guess worked for an accounting page.
Yeah.
But it became pretty clear that it wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because in it, and it wasn't, I wouldn't say it was because of the content either. It was because of the where the content was placed under a business name. So if you create content under a business name, it feels like that you have an agenda. The reason why you're posting the content, it's more of like an ad than it is to add value to somebody else's life, right? And so it's less shareable as well, because nobody wants to share an accounting page's information. Or if State Farm did a, you know, a cool video, you're not going to share State Farm's ad or a cool video that they did, most likely, because it came from them. But if Austin shared that same cool video under Austin's name, that's probably going to be a lot more shareable, right? Because it doesn't seem as though Austin has intent to try to get your business in terms of the reason behind of why he posted it, right? And so it's almost like camouflaging you behind a different name and your business behind a different name. We're real business owners. We want to speak to real business owners. So we wanted to create something that's a little bit more cool, fun, and sexy for social media. And it worked because we were posting the same type of content under Easier Accounting. It took about a year to get to 9,800 followers. And then within like 2 or 3 months of us setting up Real Business Owners, we already beat and exceeded that. And the only difference was the name change, not necessarily the content that we were putting out, because we were still sharing just general business information, right? Or mindset information. Yeah.
Well, Easier Accounting's technically beating Real Business Owners and followers.
Well, that's a whole other story.
Thanks, Kim Kardashian.
I'm gonna pull it up,
Kylie
real quick.
Jenner.
That didn't work.
So that works. That's the way to go about it for our Easier Accounting.
Yeah.
If we're trying to make social media work for that. But I still do believe that businesses operating under their own name can work for certain businesses that meet certain criteria.
Yeah. Do you have some examples?
Yes.
Okay.
Businesses that can benefit from focusing on promoting a page under their own business name meet at least one of the following three criteria. One, they offer a nationwide or worldwide product or service. So they can actually offer what they're doing to the broad audience. All
Any taking consumer. Advantage.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Right.
Which is one of the main benefits of social media.
Yeah.
Two, there is a visual or artistic element to their product or service, because social media is very visual, Instagram.
Makes the video cool, promoting their product or service.
Yeah, if you're just selling art, people are going to be into that. Maybe even if they're not going to buy, they might want to follow just because
they like art. Yeah, maybe they're not financially capable of purchasing yet. That doesn't mean they don't enjoy it, right? No.
And or three, your inventory or offers are regularly evolving or changing. So there's reason to update people about what you have going on in
your business. So you're doing the same shit over and over and over is what you're saying.
So a good example that meets all three of these criteria that I follow a lot of on social media, especially Instagram, are record stores. Okay. So like, I'm into vinyl. Listen to vinyl, guys.
Yeah, he is. He's a vinyl guy. No, he's old school. He's an old soul.
Yeah, it's a great hobby for people who like just throwing money at their hobbies.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you're
I like it.
Yeah.
I got my son a record player for his 13th birthday. I'll buy him some vinyl here and there.
Yeah. No, it's actually really fun. Like I just enjoy the process of it, and I like how it sort of centralizes music in my home. But I digress. The reason that Instagram can work for a lot of these record stores is because, one, a lot of them ship. So they'll ship their product to you, the things that they're offering. There's a very distinct artistic and visual element to, because they're getting, like, there's the album artwork and a lot of these modern pressings. They'll come on colored vinyl, or they'll do splatter, really cool designs. It's very
visual
eye-catching.
Stimulation, yes.
Yeah. And, of course, their inventory is always changing. They're getting old pressings of classic records or new pressings of hot new albums, and there's reason to post.
It's always something new. Well, so you're like, what are they going to post today? Like,
It's very niche, too. Like, for example, like, if I was an antique dealer, I would want to obviously always update my new antiques and stuff. Yeah. I'm not trying to market to everybody, but I'm trying to market to people that are in antiques with me. You know? So I'm going to constantly be like posting my new finds or my new restoration projects or whatever, right?
You know,
so I think that's a really good example.
Yeah, I think that's just a good example of like a brick and mortar business that can really benefit from operating under its own name.
Yeah,
that's not the strategy for everybody, but if you meet those three criteria, it can work.
Basically, if your business is boring, you got to do something a little bit different.
Yeah, the accounting same thing's not going to work for a dentist office or law firm.
A law firm, an accounting firm, an insurance agency. Like, a lot of the day-to-day stuff is pretty boring stuff, and it's hard to document somebody doing bookkeeping or payroll or what, you know, like there's a lot of private information. So it makes it very difficult to say, hey, look at what we do. But we have a lot of experience with business owners and our businesses. So that's where we're good. And that's where we choose to, you know, create content. So
also taking it further, anytime that you post content on social media, you should be able to make a case for it offering one of the following things to your audience. Any content that you post should be motivational,
educational, or entertaining.
And I'm going to take it a little different.
Go for it.
Okay. It should be motivational, educational, funny, hot, like sex appeal.
Yeah.
Artistic or news. And I guess educational news that sort of overlaps, but there's like a recency, like an update element. So that's
why I said fun. Our accounting's not fun, sexy, or cool.
Right.
You know, like those three things.
You got to make it. Yeah. I mean, take someone like Ali Awad. I mean, he's an attorney, dude. No one wants to follow an attorney, but they want to follow him because he does that.
Yeah.
You know, he posts news. He posts like, you know, like car accidents. Like, what would you do? And he's an accident injury, you know, like whose fault do you think this is? Like,
but
you know?
He's not doing it under his law firm.
No.
He's doing it under CEO lawyer.
Right.
Right. And we've had Ali on the podcast that
But he's hitting most of those except sexy. Yeah, actually, he's pretty sexy, but he ain't flashing booty pics.
He ain't flashing booty pics. But, you know, some of his cars are sexy that he posts in there like that, right? So it's, but he's hitting on some of the points that you're talking about, right? In terms of maybe not underneath your business name like so-and-so law firm, that might not get 300,000 followers. CEO lawyer with the content that he creates has whatever, 300,000 or 400,000 followers on Instagram, right? So he's the most followed injury attorney in the United States, I believe. So
what do you think about platforms we haven't hit though, like TikTok and stuff? Because he's even hitting those. And
TikTok is here, guys. It's the one. It's the future. And whether you or not, you actually like it.
I do too. I think we should be on it a lot more.
Dude, I haven't been able to get it.
The current audience on TikTok is kids. It's young people. And as they grow up,
bro, that's what they grew up with. Following, and they might be grandfathered into I'd like TikTok.
I've been following guys with tax tips that have hundreds of thousands of views and likes. No shit. It's there.
I gave Corey the access to
I know. Yeah, he keeps talking about it. We have a bunch of shit to start doing, right? It's just a matter of putting it in the algorithm of posting and everything.
Put it in the pecking order of this is do this, this, that, post here, or whatever, right?
TikTok's not going anywhere. It's a little more complicated to actually make content that works on it.
Yeah.
It's a little more specific than like an Instagram or a Facebook.
I just don't know.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere.
Dance.
You don't have to.
I don't know how to Dougie or.
You can learn.
Dude, this one guy did a whiteboard session of like how the tax brackets actually work. Yeah. And he's like, everyone thinks like when they hit a 30% tax bracket, it's the 30% of all their income. No, it's not. And he breaks it down.
Yeah.
A lot of people really don't know that.
Yeah.
Right. And so
I didn't know that for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think a lot of people understand that when they're like, oh, I'm at a 30% tax
bracket. He looks like an accountant doing a little whiteboard diagram, but he's got all these comments, all these likes, and those people are coming over to follow his Instagram for more. It works for sure.
I'm sure.
But anyway, thanks for your TikTok advice, bro.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's the
because the more I watch it, I'm with Austin. I'm like, it ain't going nowhere.
Well, if somebody that's 17's on it now, in 5 years they're 22, 20.
I'm 38.
You know,
I'm on it. Corey's on it. My brother's on it. Yeah. I know.
Maybe that's
you projecting your own
bias,
bro.
Bias right there that I tell other people not to do. I could tell you what to do, but
we all do.
Nobody tell me what to do. I'm not going to take my own advice. You know, so.
All right, what else, Austin? I know you got another one.
Just to drive my point home there.
Yeah.
If you're posting a piece of content and you can't make a case for it being educational, motivational, funny,
sexy,
artistic, or news.
So if it's terrible content.
Example, people sometimes will post a review for their business.
Oh, yeah.
How is that offering any value
to anybody else?
To anybody in their
feed.
It makes sense if you wanted that just to exist on your profile. We were talking about resume profiles before.
Yeah.
That kind of makes sense. But that's not offering any of those things to your followers.
Well, yeah, you're bringing them no value.
Yeah.
You're only posting it to try to bring yourself value by validating that you're good at what you do so that your audience sees that so that then they want to work with you. So in some cases, I would consider that almost like an ad. You're posting that to say, hey, look at me. We're good. Work with us. right? Mm-hmm. You might as well just say that in your caption if that's what you're going to post.
Yeah.
Instead of say, hey, thanks, so-and-so, and you can say
make
that.
An actual
thanks,
ad.
So-and-so. Yeah. We're great at what we fucking do. You should work with us.
Right.
Check out Cheryl's review. You know, we would love for you to be the next five-star review provided you choose us or something like that. Like, be direct. If that's what you're trying to accomplish, say that that's what you're trying to accomplish.
Right.
You know, rather than, you know.
Be transparent.
Transparency, yeah, authenticity.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That and that's really what it comes down to. So.
Well, I would just say that this podcast brings a shit ton of value to people because I know there's a lot of people sitting on wanting to start putting themselves out there more. I think that this podcast has given them a ton of direction on that. I think you killed it.
Yeah.
And dude, it's awesome that we get to do this because Austin's been bringing us so much value for the last almost 3 years that you guys need to listen to this guy. And tell them how they can find you, brother, because now that you're going on your own,
I know you told me
your new entity name. I know you probably you have your website and everything up.
No, we're not quite there yet.
What's the goal?
The name of the company is Blue Mint Media, LLC. You can reach me on Instagram at a.toddsnyder. And I'm also newly on LinkedIn. I have like 3 connections, so I can also be reached there.
Are me and Kel one of them? You can connect with us. We can almost double your shit like right after this podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
Turn three into five.
For the record, as of this recording, I have like 175 Instagram followers. So like it's no big deal. Like it's not. I'm going to focus more on growing that.
Now you're going out on your own. You're going to blow up.
I just say that because I can be reached there. And then the next couple weeks after this has been posted, I'm going to schedule some time to answer people's questions. So reach out to me there.
Yeah.
He's going to blow up, dude.
Yeah.
He's been focused on blowing our shit up for so long. Now he's going to blow his own shit up.
Yeah, no, I mean, without a doubt, the work side of it's there, right? Yeah. The quality's there. It kind of speaks for itself, as you guys have seen, you know, over the last few years with the content. So if you have questions for Austin, definitely reach out to him via the Instagram. His information will be in the bio of the podcast as well.
Oh, yeah. The other thing that I'm going to put together, because we didn't really talk about specific gear.
Yeah.
Or like recommendations. Yeah. I'm going to put together a few
lists.
Wish list, Amazon, B&H. Like a podcast starter pack or
maybe a couple
video
options
gear you're like need if you're under $1,000.
Yes,
there'll be a few
that.
Links to resources like that in the show notes and
we've
or
had
the description based on where you're watching.
Over the last few years, we've had a few people reach out to us and say, hey, can you send us what gear you guys have or what you guys use? And we're happy to share that information with you. And what Austin's going to do for you is, you know, depending on where you're at financially, he can give you top tier options, right? Where if you want to go below 10 grand, you know, he'll give you those options, you know? Yeah. Make sure you get an affiliate link. So
it's not blowing it, though. It's an investment.
It is an investment. But and then maybe if you're a bootstrap type option, like, hey, if you don't really have a whole lot, here's an option to at least get started, right?
That's cool.
And so you'll be able to find those where? In the show notes or a link somewhere? Or
yeah, just in whatever description or body of text. Is associated with whatever platform you're watching this or listening to this on.
Yeah, there should be kind of like a bio for the podcast, and it should be
you can go into like the details on a specific episode on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
Gotcha. So he'll have all of that stuff there, but definitely use him as a resource. And, you know, again, here within the next couple months, if you guys are looking for an individual to, you know, maybe create a video that's an ad for your business that you really want to go over the top with, maybe you're not ready for weekly or daily posting and having somebody do your edits every single week, but maybe you're like, where do I turn to maybe create a 60 second ad or something like that? Maybe Austin can be a good resource for you where you reach out to him. He can charge you some money
and
whip up some, you know, good videos for you.
That's what I like.
For you to be able to promote your business, just so you understand, it's just, I guess I'm trying to say it's not one option where if you're trying to build a huge following, only reach out to him. There's other things that he could help with and assist
with. He gets the creative side and the marketing side. He has the brain for both.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
You guys are just gassing me up this entire podcast. I'm going to be feeling good all day.
Well, bro, you've gassed
us up. You've
gassed us up for fucking 2.5 years, almost 3 years. So again, this is part of what we've preached in terms of taking care of people and really genuinely wanting them to win. We want Austin to win, and this is us trying to show that, right? And say, hey, you guys know he does solid-ass shit. You guys have seen our content. People have even posted. Whoever's doing your content's kicking ass. Well, here he is.
Yeah.
So now he's available to you guys after March. After March, is that May 15th or something like that.
Yeah.
So well, don't DM him until May 15th. He's still ours until
transitioning
then. No, for real. Reach out to him. Take advantage of having access to a guy like him and a mind like him. I think anybody that chooses to work with him will benefit from it, just as we have. So hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast. Don't be a douche and not leave a review. Don't be a douche and not subscribe to the podcast. You know, all of this stuff definitely helps
YouTube,
us.
YouTube, turn the bell on.
Yeah.
Smash the, what do they
smash
say?
Smash the like. right now, smash. Yeah, exactly. Do that.
I like
you
it.
Know. Do what everybody Probably else works. Tells you to do at the end of their shit, but do it on our shit. So we would definitely appreciate it. Hope we brought you guys value today. We wish you nothing but the best. Take care.